Yo, what it do, podcast people? I want to say welcome home, settle in. I hope you got you a good little snack, good little vibe, because we coming at you, man. We coming at you with another rendition of Big Mike Takes the Mic. And, you know, I got a very, very, very special guest with me today. And most of the time, I'm on here talking to student athletes and other people. And this one means something special to me. It's something different in my heart right now. And, you know, I got my sister on the mic with me today. So, sister, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, people. Hey, podcast world. It's your girl, Cheyenne, Micah's sister, the one and only.
I'm very excited to have her on here because she was fighting me before actually recording this. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy that she decided to actually hop up on the mic with me, man, because I feel like this was going to be a special one. This was going to be a little gem, you know. This is going to be a great conversation, you know. We might get a little deep. We might talk about some things we never talked about before. So I hope you're happy. And all right, let's jump into it. You ready?
Well, I appreciate you having me on. This is something that I never imagined myself doing. I'm just very honored to be on Big Mike Takes the Mic.
Yes, I'm taking the mic with you. The people not worried about me. They hear my voice all the time. The people really want to know about you. So, sister, you know, how did you get all the way to Hawaii? Like, what was the story behind that? Like, you know, a lot of people ask me all the time, like, oh, do you live with your sister? You live with your sister? How did that happen? So, tell the people how you got here.
It was a joke. It was a joke. My mom was like, you know, you should move to Hawaii with your brother. He needs a roommate because his roommate was actually leaving. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like so much fun. Yes, let's do it. And it was literally like this running joke. And I was like, you know what? I asked around, got some people's opinions. Like, I don't have any kids, I'm young, I'm sexy. You know? So, I was like, why not? Don't got nothing holding me back or tying me down. So, here I am. And I booked a one-way ticket to Hawaii, packed two bags, and I came out here.
The people are happy that you did come because you have made my time in Hawaii so much more better. And just a lot homier, you know, when you have a piece of home that when you're coming from a place, when you're coming to a place that is 4,000, 5,000 miles away, and you have someone who can actually relate and knows you and grew up with you in the house. So, you know, we just got my sister here with me, and it just feels good, you know what I'm saying?
You do love me.
Of course. You thought I didn't love you, sister?
I know you love me. You really love me.
So, sister, what's some of your favorite parts about your trip, like transitioning to Hawaii?
Some of my favorite parts about the transition would be coming out here and really healing, and finding myself and getting back grounded in my faith. Because, you know, when you're out there in the world and you're just moving so fast and you don't really have time to just take a breath, you know, every day can ram together and just be blurry. And that's what I was doing. I was working, I was in a relationship, I had stepchildren, so it was like, you know, all my days started to blur together and I started to lose who I was. So coming out here allowed me to refocus and reset myself and really find myself again and, you know, just get grounded in my faith, because, you know, you can become familiar with the Lord and you can feel like, oh, I know him, so that's all I need is I know him, he know me, we good. But, you know, getting out here and getting back in church with you and actually finding that peace, it's been the best part, I would say.
Amen to that. That's very awesome. You know, shout out to all my my Christian lovers, all my Jesus lovers, you know. I actually attend a Word of Life Community Center, you know. So if anybody need a church, you know, that is a church you can definitely, a place you can call home. You know, that's kind of like the church's little slogan. So all my people in Hawaii, if you need a church, make sure you tap in. Tell them Big Mike sent you, you know what I'm saying? But, man, that's really awesome to hear though, sister, because Hawaii, it's such a different and a special place, because I know, like, the first thing, like, you had to get used to was, like, just the prices, like, at least in the grocery stores.
The prices are, like, the worst thing ever. Like, I came out here, and it was just, like, literally two times everything back on the mainland, like, because I was living in Texas for so long, and then I transitioned to Oklahoma. And both of those states have extremely low prices compared to Hawaii. And it was just like a knock upside the head.
Yes, because the cost of living in Hawaii, that's why people like it out here. But I mean, you got to have that money. You got to have that money talk out here for sure.
Palm Springs bread.
Yeah, you got to have that. You got to have some for sure money in your pocket. But, you know, Hawaii is also what you make it. So, you know, a lot of people, they come out here with a closed mind and they just try to make it their own, but you really just got to learn the culture because, first of all, Hawaii isn't even a part of the U.S. technically, you know. Hawaii was annexed from the Hawaiian people, so that's just one of the things that, like, you...
Colonized.
For surely colonized. And, yeah, you can say that.
But, I don't want to be in politically correct. Yeah. Get canceled
nowadays. Nah, but Hawaii wasn't technically part of the U.S. at all. It was just the U.S., illegally occupied it and overthrow the queen, and like that's one of the first things like you just gotta know. So this is like, this place is unlike any other place in the world, like any other place on the United States, because this place has its own different set of rules, set of values and cultures, just the people and how they are, bro. Like they're so loving and so open, but you have to not conform, but you just gotta be open-minded to their ways as well.
You gotta respect the land.
Mm-hmm. For sure that you gotta respect the land, because if you just try to come out here and be like, oh, I'm gonna do Hawaii my way, and this is how I'm gonna do it, and that's how I'm gonna do it, and you're just gonna hate it. You're gonna be like, the people are so rude here, it's so this, it's so that. But man, when you can just lean in and you just learn and you're just open to actually learn about the history, learn about the culture, learn about the values, man, this is the best place in the world. This place is really a blessing.
And I don't care what nobody says, the waters have healing properties. Like, all the salt in the water, like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's so much salt in this water. I've never been able to float in my life, like, in the swimming pool or anything. But I came out here and I was able to float in the water for the first time in my life. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I like it.
You like it? Yeah, okay, that's what's up. That's for sure what's up. Sister, I know we had our childhood memories, you know, we went back and forth. Tell me one of your favorite childhood memories about me and you. Tell it to the people, the people want to know.
I would say one of my favorite childhood memories is when we went to Disneyland, me, you, and my mom, our mom. And, you know, we had a really good time, and we rode all the rides. We got our custom little Mickey Mouse hats and everything, and it was just an amazing time. And one day, you know, we had like a 3-day pass, and one of the days we chose not to go, and we just chose to sit in the hotel room and just enjoy each other's company, play games, eat good food, and, you know, the little moments like that, you know, were, I would say, was like one of my best childhood memories. And I can still also remember a time where we went to go see Christmas lights with our grandparents. And it was very memorable.
That's really awesome. I know one of my favorite childhood memories with you would have easily been the time that, the time our cousin Anthony, he hit me in the forehead with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I thought that the only reason why I said like that sounds very dark and very crazy.
But it wasn't. So they were playing a game outside. All the boys were playing baseball. They were, you know, they thought they was doing something. Little kids, they was major leaguing or whatever. I don't know what they was doing. I was in the house.
Now, we were trying to tell you, boy, I was finna be the next Jackie Robinson out there, man. You feel me? I was the next great in the making, next Mike Trout, you know what I'm saying? I was about to be the black Mike Trout. I was about to be a home run dingers.
You definitely got a dinger. You definitely got a dinger.
A dinger right on my forehead, yes. But, since I like it when you tell a story, you go tell it.
Oh, Lord. And then, so, after that, you know, I'm in the house with the girls, and the boys are outside. Next thing you know, all we hear is screaming, like screaming at the top of your lungs. And we're like, we thought it was like the neighbors at first, and then like it kept going. It was like, what is that? And so I hear my mama running down the stairs, and she's like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And Micah's in the backyard, holding it like on the ground, curled up, rolling around in the grass, just screaming to the top of his lungs. And I, you know, so everybody's running outside, it's chaos, it's a panic, and everybody's like, what happened, what happened, what happened? And our cousin Anthony was like, he walked in front of me when I was swinging, I didn't see him. And so I bucked up and was like, so you didn't see my brother? You didn't see my little brother walk in front of you before you swung? You wasn't paying attention to your surroundings? And my mama tried to like calm me down because I was ready to go to war. I was ready to grab that bat and go to war. Cousin and all, I was like, so you didn't see him? You blind now? I was like, I went in. And that's how that happened.
The only reason why I love to say that, because that was like the first time in my life that I was like, because me and my sister, like, you know how brothers and sisters are, you know, they fight, they poke fun at each other, and that's like the first time that I seen my sister really show that love and that care and affection for me. And I was like, oh, like, she actually does love me.
That's
like,
not the first time I did it, though, because he's got his finger smashed, and he don't even remember that. He got his finger smashed in the door when he was little.
Oh, no, I remember my finger being smashed because it hurt. I remember I was bleeding very, very much, but, you know.
And I was going off on people then, too.
But, yeah, she, I don't know, I just...
I got a war behind this one. I would. Russia ain't got shit on me.
Hey, chill. Hey, chill out. Hey, you crazy. I don't know, sister, like, I don't know, that was just one of my favorite memories because I just remember I was in the ER and, like, and I don't know if anyone's seen Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins, but that movie where he hit his mama with a baseball bat and she had the little knot on her head. And I remember, yeah, had the little titty on her head, and I remember I was like, dang, bro, that was me. that was me, and I was like, dang, bro, like, oh, that was a good memory, man. That was just good times, just because, I don't know, she was there taking care of me, and, you know, it feels good when your sister's taking care of you, you know, when she's the big sister, you know what I'm saying? Because most people got it twisted. Most people think I'm the older sibling, just in the simple fact because I'm the bigger one of the two, you know. It would kind of be hard for her to be bigger than me, so, you know, I'm 6'6", 300, so.
Big ass. What's your favorite thing about the island?
My favorite thing about the island? Oh, I just love that the island was just so welcoming. As an 18-year-old kid, I remember I literally took my official visit out here on my 18th birthday, believe it or not. You know, that was my 18th birthday present gift. You know, shout out to Coach Rolo and all the staff. You know, they got that set up a perfect time, like literally. But I just remember me coming home the next day, and my mom was like, hey, Mikey, you remember how you got an offer from Hawaii? And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, well, you're going to take your official visit out on your 18th birthday. And I was like, oh, like, really? Like, that's crazy. Like, what? And I was like, she's like, yeah, that's what you got your little Hawaii. That's your birthday present for your 18th birthday. even though technically I got it for myself, you know, my mom was trying to take credit. Like, she set it up for my birthday, but, you know, that's just the recruiter weekend they wanted to bring me in, so.
That's some mama shit.
You know, that's some, you know, mama's going to spin it and how she want to spin it, so. But I got out here, man, and literally it just felt so, different, and it just felt so new, and I just loved it. Like, literally, like, I was just... Because the only thing I really knew about Hawaii before was, like, the basics, like, you know, like, the pineapples, the hula girls, and stuff like that. I remember the only objective I had on my list, like, I remember I just wanted to try some pineapple. Like, I was like, if I try some pineapple, bro, like, I think my time in Hawaii would be complete. Like, they always say the pineapple out here is so good.
Which it is. I can attest to that. Fruit out here is on a different level. All of the fruit, oranges, apples, pineapples, peaches.
I'm trying to tell you, if you have never tried a piece of Hawaii pineapple, like, it's the only pineapple, like, when you bite into it, like, the juice will shoot back out at you. You'll be like, oh, my goodness, like, almost blinding myself. I'm not gonna lie, I almost blinded myself a couple times biting into a piece of pineapple when the juice just hit me right in the eye. You'll be like, oh, my goodness, but it's just so good, and it's just, oh my goodness, man. Like, I just remember the first time I tried it, like, literally every meal, like, we would go, like, because at first they had took us to Duke's at the breakfast cafe. So, man, I went to Duke's and I loaded up with a pineapple, man. That place is going so
crazy. The fruit is so good out here that it's illegal to take back.
Oh, yeah, you know, you can't mess with the agriculture. Come on now, you can't mess with the aina.
It is illegal to take fruit off of this island. They put all of your bags through a scanner when you get to the airport.
Hey,
you're not taking back not nothing. Not an orange peel, not a seed, not nothing.
Nathan, they for sure gonna confiscate it. And shoot, if you have a lot of stuff, they might even find you, which is crazy. But you know, they trying to keep the goodies on the island for the island.
You know what I'm saying? I could not get used to, though, when I first moved out here, was the rice. They serve rice with everything, and I'm not a big rice person, so it was like rice with breakfast, rice with lunch, rice with dinner, like, and it's not even one scoop, it's two scoops of rice, like,
because well, we like the rice out here. Like, I say we because I feel like I'm a local boy at this point, I'm not gonna lie, but you know, that rice, man, that rice will put that weight on you real fast. But I promise, that rice, I didn't know that when I first came out here, and I was just over here, just, I didn't know you had to throw the shoyu on the rice, so I'm just eating the rice with little sugar packets, because, you know, that's how we did it down south, you know, because I'm from Oklahoma, you know, every time I did eat rice, you know, we would throw some little sugar on it, and you mess that rice up, I'm not gonna lie, that thing go crazy. But shout out to all my people who put the sugar on the rice, you know, I'm a shoyu boy now, so. I didn't change my ways, so it's all good.
What's your favorite thing about being my little brother?
My favorite thing about being your little brother?
Yes, my big little brother.
I would say one of my favorite things about being your big little brother, that's a hard one.
Dad, you like when I boss you around and tell you what to do?
Negative. That is not one of those.
That's the least.
That favorite. Is my least favorite thing, that you just think you my mama and you be trying to boss people around. But you know, but I just love how you really go to bat for people that you love. You know, because like that's one thing about Tai and about my whole family is, if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. You know, back when I was a little kid, you know, I was getting bullied and stuff at school. And when she was still at the school to help me, you know, she would always set the record straight. She was over there. Like, and at first, like, I would feel, like, kind of, like, shamed by that because, you know, I'm the boy. I'm supposed to be the big, macho, mighty one. But, you know, I got a gangster little sister, a big sister. So, you know, she ain't afraid to fight nobody. She don't care if you're bigger, stronger, boy or girl. You know, she messing with her little brother, you know, it's up for you. It's for sure up for you.
And it's stuck.
What is your least favorite thing about me? Mm. Is it the fact that I snore really loud?
I've gotten used to that. I would say that he's gotten better, but I love to pop pimples. So he would not used to let me pop his pimples, and it used to drive me crazy. And I'd be like, fine, you want to walk around here looking like brace face? That's your problem. Listen, I just, like, I would attack him in his sleep, like, just to pop a pimple. But he's gotten a lot better, I would say.
Yeah, she's, before she used to have to hold me down and restrain me, so. But, you know, I'm the bigger one, so usually the time I just break away, but.
Now he's letting me do facials and everything else.
Because, you know, that's the moneymaker, man. You know what I'm saying? This face might make millions one day. I want it to at least look kind of good, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, you know, God willing. But.
Oh, and when I first got here, he used to treat me like I was a boy. Like, he used to think that we were the same size. It's like, just because he's around big people all day, and he doesn't realize how big he actually is. So he used to, you know, bump into me and be like, and try to do like football stuff and everything like that, and like hem me up. And I have to remind him, like, he is a big ass nigga. And he just can't be doing that. Like, I have to remind him that we are not the same size.
It's okay, because I don't know, like, sometimes, like, you just kind of forget, like, when you're around, like, 6'6", 6'4", 6'5", 6'3", 320, 330, like, when you're around big dudes all day, like, literally, like, sometimes you just, but, oh, like, I'm just one of the other homies, bruh. So, it's not until, like, I really step out and I branch out and I'm like, oh, like, wow, I'm actually kind of taller than people.
Yeah, every time we go out, kids are always looking up to him. And I'd be like, dang, does this happen everywhere you go? The kids just look at you like, dang, he's a big guy.
Literally, like I remember going back to my internship. Shout out to the base on Hawaii at Pearl Harbor. You know, that's where I did my internship at. I used to help babysit the kids. Not babysit. I used to watch after them in the summer program. And, All the little kids over there, they were so funny and they were so cool. Cause every time they would just look at me and be like, they had a nickname for me actually. The nickname they had for me, they used to call me Mr. Tall Man. I remember all the little kids, they'd be like, Hi Mr. Tall Man. So
they had a game to see who could touch his hand. He would put his hand all the way up in the air and each kid would try to touch it. And whoever touched it, they would ask him for $5.
Yeah, but mind you, these is like young Keikis, so they're like maybe Keikis is like children for all my people who not down with the local slang. But all the Keikis is maybe
little
like
jits.
Yeah, little jits, you know what I'm saying? They all around like 9, 10. We had some 11 years old, but they were all like kind of like smaller kids. So like we even had the younger kids. We haven't had like the seven and nine class, and we had a 9 through 11 class. So that was a really awesome time, and I love my time over there. But I remember that they had that little nickname, Mr. Tall Man. So that was always funny. I just wanted to give you your flowers now, sister, because you know.
Give my flowers now before I'm dead.
Basically, because I feel like that's one thing that really lacks in this generation is just like just showing appreciation, because like I don't know, people trying to make it like seem like it's corny or like that it's not cool to appreciate people. And I feel like that's one of the things that this world just needs to get back to, is just showing love, bro. Because if you don't show that love, man, like if you just walking around like a hater, just salty all day, and you think you're better than people, then you're not going to have really, really, truly many friends. And I don't know. I like to be a person who just likes to be a light. I want to shine my light to other people. And I just want to give you your flowers, man, because I just remember me going to high school. I really wanted to go to Central High School because I really thought that was the best high school ever. Like, I grew up, I used to go up there when I was in middle school, and even the principal used to come up to me like, yeah, you're going to be a Bobcat, right? You're going to be a Bobcat. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm going to be a Bobcat. My sister used to always tell me, like, mind you, but Central is, like, it's, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, it's not the greatest
school. It's an inner city school.
It's an inner city Phoenix school. So, you know, we're actually located right next to Brophy, which is one of the best private schools in Arizona. And, you know, it costs a lot of money to go in there. But, you know, Central, that's just, like, it was really divided by this canal, and this canal represented a lot, like, symbolically thinking back about it now. It's just about how just the power distorted and
separation.
The separation of just really two different worlds, because Brophy was a predominantly all white school and Central was predominantly all minority school. You know, I went to school with black people and Mexican people, majority. So
black and brown,
interracial. But one thing Central always did, they had a lot of, like, I'm talking about a lot of mixed races. Like, they had, like, we had, like, a magnet program at our school. So we had, like, an exchange program. So we had school, we had kids from, like, Germany. We had kids from France. We had kids from, like, Japan, China, like
Middle East,
like that was one thing that Central did do a very good job, and that's why, like, it's kind of like just like Hawaii, like, in a sense, because
Central was the school where you had kids doing the Naruto run.
Oh yeah, but that's everybody had that. Everybody had kids like that. What you mean the Naruto run? That's famous.
I didn't even know what it was until recently when anime started getting popping. Honestly, I used to just think I was. Never mind.
Just crazy. But I don't know. So you really want to help me go to Central? And, like, thinking back about it now, because I had an opportunity to go to, like, Sunny Slope, and I had an opportunity to go to Brophy, actually. And I just remember me thinking, I was like, no. I told my mom, I was like, I want to go to Central High School, because they always said people who go to Central High School aren't going to do anything. And I know a lot of people from Central High School that are doing great and marvelous things in this world now. And I just want to say shout out to Central, bro, because you made me the person I am today, and I wouldn't be there without Central and without my sister, bro, because she made that school, like, popular to me. Like, I really used to, like, I'm talking about, I used to bang my high school. Like, I used to really tell people, like, bro, Central is really where it's at, bro. Like, every other high school is trash. Like, people used to talk how much they hated their high school. I used to love Central. Like, look, yeah,
me,
I promise.
And my mom talked him out of going so many times. We did not want him to go to Central at all, because it wasn't somewhere that we believed he could thrive at his best, which he did prove us and everybody else wrong. He thrived amazingly. But, you know, when you think back on it, it's like when you go to those predominantly white schools and you are a black athlete, there are a lot of politics that go into it. Just like when you become a D1 athlete, there's a lot of politics that no one talks to these inner city kids about.
Yeah, that's one thing I had to find out. I had to find out on my own, because that D1 politics life, man, that those politics is very, 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 very real. And you got to learn how to play the game, man. That's one thing that Central didn't prepare me for. But I learned, you know, that's one of the things, you know, you just got to live and learn. And life and experience is always the best teacher. So, you know, I wish I would have learned a little bit more just about the recruiting process and how things actually went, because it all came so fast for me. I can just say that recruiting process, it felt like literally like it was like just everything being thrown at me. It was coaches calling me, and I didn't even know how this coach got my number. This coach calling me, pulling me out of class. Hey, this school's here to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, whoa, wait, what? And it was just kind of all over the place. But, you know, that's one thing that I can just say, like, I learned on the fly pretty well, because I had one of my mentors, you know, who helped me through the whole thing, you know, my football coach, John Clayton. And he just always just told me, man, these coaches will tell you anything to make you shine on that dotted line. And just when you sign on that dotted line, you're signing your life away. So just make sure you feel comfortable signing your life away to someone who's actually going to do something, who's going to mold you into a better man. And it's going to, because you're going to, like, you don't think about it when you're signing that paper. You're signing up for 4 to 5 years of your life gone, just like a chunk taken out of it. Yeah, basically. But, you know, and when you sign that contract, there are certain obligations that you have to fill. And if you don't fill those obligations, you will be over-recruited. You'll be overlooked just because, in the sense of the fact that you were supposed to come here to play football and you're not playing football to the level that we thought you were going to play football. So we're just going to look at the next guy. And then if that guy's not it, we're just going to look at the next guy. And that's one thing that people don't really talk about in college sports and college politics, because those things are very real. And especially because this is my third head coach, and this is a lot some of the people don't really talk about, you know, this when you're transitioning from a coaching change and a staff change. And it's really different because, you know, you were brought in by a certain guy and a certain coach who had a certain vision. And then now you have to meet a whole person's new expectations and visions. So when you're put in that predicament, it's kind of like you're being put in a rock in a hard place. So it's just like, well, I'm supposed to be doing this, and this coach recruited me to do this, and now this coach isn't here. And, you know, I just never knew that that college carousel was so real. And that's one of the things I wish I would have took the time and actually researched more, just about how much turnover and how much coaching staff changes really affect you, because I never knew that. I was just thinking, like, bro, I'm going to be in Hawaii. I'm going to be cool, and I'm going to be vibing. I'm going to be vibing.
He was trying to get out here and get lit.
Nah, not even in the sense of getting lit. You know, the official visit was crazy, you know. That's one thing that I might talk about on a future podcast. You know, I might talk about what I did on my official visit and all the craziness and wild things that went on that time that made me actually commit to the University of Hawaii.
Boats and hoes.
No, it wasn't no boats and hoes. It wasn't that. I can tell you that for sure. But college politics, man, those are something I just really want to harp on and just say, like, young kings, young queens, while you're picking your schools and you're going through this recruiting process, remember, this is the greatest time in your life. You are basically being wined and dined by all these different schools because everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone wants a piece of you, essentially. And, you know, now with this NIL stuff, you know, you can really make it your own. You can make your own oyster. So I just want to say, all my people, just keep your head up. Just keep grinding. But heavy weighs that crown. Heavy does weigh that crown because, you know, you're gonna have to cash that check one day. And just make sure you just keep the main thing. If you're going to school to be a volleyball star, make sure you put volleyball first, because there's going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be a lot of people telling you that you need to do this, you need to do that. And you still got to stay on top of all your schoolwork and all your classwork, because if you're ineligible, then you're not going to be able to play sports. And that's the thing you were called to do there, is to play sports. And, you know, also to impact people and also to change people. But what the school needs you to do is to make sure you're on that field, or you're on that basketball court, or you're on that soccer field, or shout out all my cross country people who are out there running. You know, they need you to do the obligation you were assigned to do. So, man, I just want to say, just be careful and just do your research and just take your time. But another thing, like, you'll know when it's time, because the heart always knows. When I got in Hawaii and I really hopped off that plane, and I just felt like, man, this place is just special. This place is different. I love it here. Like, literally, I haven't been here 24 hours. I haven't been here 3 minutes. I was like, bro, the air just feels so different. It just hit my lungs. And I was like, oh, like, I can, like, this feels like home. Like, this is different. I love this.
And when I got off the plane, I smelled ganja in the air. I did.
You smelled what in the air?
Ganja.
Ganja. Well, I can tell you, I didn't smell any of that. I smelled that salt water, and I just tasted, that just felt like fresh air that just hit my lungs.
Well, fresh ganja hit my lungs.
Yeah, well, I can. She can only attest for her perspective. I can only attest for mine.
I walked out them doors and was like, because the way Hawaii's airport is set up, when you ride United, there's like a part of the airport that's like an open area, and you walk back to the United gate. And so, you know, the air smelled amazing. It was fresh. Like, I could take a deep breath and it just felt different. But when I walked out the front doors of the airport, I smelled straight ganja. I said, oh, they growing it like that. It's tropical ganja out here. They got that fruity pebbles.
You are crazy. This is a question that I ask all of my guests. If you could have dinner with four people, dead or alive, who would they be?
I would say my grandfather, because he's passed away. The second person would be Malcolm X.
That's a good one.
The next one would be Queen Tai from Africa.
Okay. Who you was named after, okay.
And the fourth person would be Jesus.
Jesus? The man himself? Timothy? That's what the kids like saying. Himothy, I'm Himothy. Nah, that's Jesus, that's Himothy.
Hosanna in the highest.
I feel you. So you said Grandpa, Malcolm X, Tai, the Nubian queen, and Jesus.
Because I want some answers.
You want some answers?
I want some answers to this crazy world we live in. Because everything is colonized. They burned the Library of Alexandria, so we didn't know our history and our accurate history. They take our history, they manipulate it to the way that they want it to be shown. And you can't tell me everybody in history was white.
I feel you. Not everybody. No. There had to be some colored people somewhere.
We are the blueprint, baby.
Say that one more time. You said what?
We are the blueprint, baby. So, I need some answers. And I don't want to Google them. I don't want to. I understand they say if you want to hide something from a black person, you put it in a book. But if I had the opportunity to speak to the dead, those are the people I would want to speak to.
That's actually a really good four. I like that four. Because, you know, I usually say five, but you at the table. So I like to do a little start at five. You know, stick to my basketball roots. Because, you know, I was supposed to be a hooper, baby. Now I'm supposed to go to the NBA. I just stopped growing.
Okay. And so since you normally do top five, my fifth would be...
No, I do four. Because you at the table.
Okay.
You the five. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's four other people in yourself.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. She's small, kind, slow, everybody. I'm just playing. That's my sister. She's not slow. If you're talking about my sister, you know, I might have to come after you. But,
Nah, he just don't be making sense sometimes.
No, you just don't listen with your ears. You gotta listen with both of them. God gave you one mouth, two ears.
Well, you know, there's such a thing more. As selective hearing. A lot of, you know, people suffer from it.
That's crazy. You know, thank y'all so much for just kicking it with us. Who was just talking. I got my sister on the mic. I got my sister on the episode. So now she can't tell me that I didn't have her on a podcast episode. We got that done in the books. So make sure you rate us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and the Stitcher Store. And make sure you just tap in on YouTube too, man. I got a lot of good videos. Got a lot of good vlogs and stuff. I think you will really like it over there. So after you get done watching this, make sure you go click subscribe, you know, hit the little bell for the post notice and everything. But make sure you just keep following up with the podcast and keep showing love. Just keep spreading the word, man, because we taking over.
Yeah, do all that. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you don't miss a single word this man says.
For sure that.
Because he got some intelligence in this big brain my mama pushed out 23 years ago.
And that's no cap. I hope y'all have a great and blessed day, man. And you just have a great one. Y'all be easy, stay blessed, and just love God. All right, y'all. Be easy.